But we'll stand and we'll read Mark chapter 2. We're going to read verses 13 through 17 and follow along there as we read this passage there in the scriptures. Mark 2, verse 13, I hope you're there. The Bible says this, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them." Of course, this is talking about Jesus. "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners all sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the day. And Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us this evening. Lord, I thank you for the music, Lord, that has prepared our hearts, Lord. And Lord, as we open up your word tonight, I do pray that your spirit would work in people's hearts. Lord, this message that has been stirring in my heart, Father, I pray that, Lord, your spirit would convey what I cannot. Lord, that you would do the work that I can't, Lord, that you would just put me aside. And as we look at your word and some thoughts from it, Father, that you would help us to learn what it is that you would have for us to learn. And Lord, that we would grow by it. Father, we ask for your blessing and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. As we look at the scriptures this evening, I started here in this text just for main purpose of understanding the need of the great physician. As we come upon our missions month, we have a month where our emphasis must be on the commission that God has given us. You know, Pastor's been in a series in Sunday school on missions, and it's just been a great, great insight into how we as a church view missions. And if you haven't gotten a chance to hear it, I would encourage you to listen to it, whether it be through CD or it's available on sermon audio. But it's been a tremendous challenge to me, and really the thought for the message stemmed from one of those thoughts last week. Our text in Mark here gives us the perspective that we're familiar with. It's that those that are whole do not need the physician. In a lot of ways, Jesus was condemning the Pharisees because they did not see themselves as having a need. When we talk about witnessing and sharing the gospel with someone, this is a point where we talk about and saying you need to get a person lost before they can get saved. Here, the Pharisees didn't see themselves as needing salvation. They thought they had it all. They thought they had it down. And so Jesus was very plainly saying, this isn't for the people that are self-righteous. It's the people that are sick, that need a physician. Those that are sick need the physician. A person, as we look at this, realizes that we live in a sin-sick world. Sin abounds around us. This world loves darkness. You know, there's so many beliefs out there, but the prevailing belief that we see is one that people won't come right out and say it, but it's this idea of humanism, where we elevate the thoughts and the opinions of man and man's own thinking, our own opinion, higher than that of God. So we agree tonight that the world needs Christ. We look at this and we see that the world is in need of the great physician. That Christ fills the void. That Christ is the answer. So how is that done? How do we give them the answer? How do we give them the solution to what they need? It's through what we would call Christianity. when we stop and we think, understand that we complain about how bad things are. We complain about the degrading morals in our society. We look around and we say how awful and how terrible things are, and things are going downhill and this isn't the way it used to be. We complain that God has been taken out of schools. We complain that God's been removed from public places and public service. But I'll ask you a question tonight. If tomorrow we were able to, if there was a day that was declared that you could go into any public school freely and preach the gospel to anyone you wanted, would you be out there? Would you take time and say, you know what? There's a huge cause. I'm going to have to call off work. I'm going to have to take a day off and take a part of this. We complain about not having opportunities, but what are we doing with the opportunities that we do have? Christians can gather, and we do gather. But Christians can go out. Why don't we go out? The title of the message tonight, you see it in front of you, is The Simplicity of Witnessing. I want to share with you some practical helps that will help us in our witnessing. I realize that there's a widespread of people here from different levels of experience, some that have gone out and knocked on a door and been very direct in their witnessing to people, cold calling, as some would say, and some that really have no experience, perhaps are very reserved and unsure and shy or whatever the case may be. I do want to kind of cover that spectrum of people that are here. And I hope that as we look at this, yes, there may be some concerns and fears, and you may not be comfortable in going out and knocking on a door, and I'm not trying to minimize that we do those things or that we shouldn't do those things. That's not what I'm saying. I want to help us to understand this evening some of the principles that we see in the scripture that will help us to go from where you're at with the relationships that you have and go from there. That part is simple, but that part is still witnessing. So the thought struck me last week as I mentioned, of pastor and teaching on this foundation of missions. He was talking about the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul lived his life, and he felt compelled to share the gospel. And the Bible even says that in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he writes this, he says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." He's saying, I feel like this is something I need to do. But then he says this, he says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And that thought struck me because I thought to myself, and it almost hit me like a truck, that is my life that way? Do I feel in my life, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel? The fact of the matter is again, being very open with you, that's not my thought all the time. That's not how I live my life and how I carry myself out. And why is that? Why is it that there are times where I just don't feel compelled? So what does it mean to be a witness? The first thing, understand, is it's a way you can witness, a tool that anyone can use to be a witness, is a simple request. A simple request. We see in the book of John, go ahead and turn there, the first chapter of the book of John. We lay the groundwork of the book of John. You see in John 1 that we're talking about the introduction of who Jesus is. Jesus is God, and that God was, Jesus was there in the beginning when God created the earth. And so all these things are seen in John chapter 1, and then in that chapter is very action-packed. You have the baptism of Christ, and you see in verse 43 in the book of John, right in the first chapter of John, you get into Jesus' ministry. And in verse 43, the day following, Jesus, would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And that's the request. You see, Philip believed. Philip believed the Bible. He says right there, We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. But you see that Philip doesn't answer Nathanael's question. He just gives him an invitation. He says, Come and see. This is a simple answer to many, but it encourages people to come out and see for themselves. So any of us, as we think about what the work that we can do in witnessing, how can I be a witness for Christ? How can I reach my generation? Again, we complain about how bad things are, but we can impact people. We have opportunity to go out and reach people in our community, right around us. And we can have a simple request that says, that's not a track, but that is, hey, come and see. How about we have different opportunities where there's going to be a presentation of the gospel. We talk about it many times during our Christmas cantata. There's people that you know them. They're not going to come to church. They're not going to come to church into the building. There's many people that will say, oh, you know, if I walk into the building, that building is going to burn down. All right? And I've told people, I've never seen it happen. All right? I promise you, you won't be the first. It won't happen. I've never seen it happen. But understand that there's many different opportunities, and one of those is coming up. There's going to be two presentations of the Easter Cantata, and we have this opportunity to say, hey, you know what? Come and see. There's this opportunity where you may not be able to answer all the questions that they have or answer everything about the doctrinal things of the church, but you can say, hey, you know what? Why don't you come check it out? It's as simple as that, a simple request. And any one of us can do that. And it's not so much because, you know what? The problem is that people hear different things or people say different things. And you know what? The best thing is for someone to check it out firsthand. You can say, tell someone, you know what? I don't want you to just take my word for it. Come check it out for yourself. And it's a simple request that we can give to be a witness. We can also give a straightforward response. That's the second one. Turn over a couple pages to the book of John, chapter 9. John chapter 9. I love this passage. It really just... I laugh almost every time I read it. John chapter 9. You know the story. There's a man that's been blind. That's been blind since birth. And he's given sight by Jesus Christ. And they talk, the Pharisees, they want to come down on Jesus. They want to arrest him right there for the things that he's done. So they go to the parents and they say, Are you the parents of this guy that was just healed? And what exactly happened here? What's going on? And the parents are like, Hey, he's old enough. Talk to him. Talk to him himself. And here we see in verse 24 and 25 that they come after the blind guy, and they're saying in verse 24, Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The straightforward response was, I don't know it all. I may not have all the answers. There's some things that perhaps I don't understand. And it's helpful because people have questions. The people that we interact with and that we talk to, they have questions that they're wondering about. And there's some things that people ask and they ask about. Sometimes those things are meant as a distraction to try to get away from the point of, you know, hey, you're a sinner that needs salvation. Sometimes those are a distraction. But sometimes those are very honest questions that people have inside of them that they're wondering about that are somewhat of a hindrance. And you got to work through those to get them to a point of decision where they're going to say, you know what, I'm going to choose Christ or I'm going to reject Christ. And you know what? We, in our witnessing, think that we have to have all the answers. I need to know this, 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 and this, and I need to know everything so that if somebody asks me a question, that I'll be able to answer that. And that's good. The Bible tells us that we should have an answer ready for every man. But if that, we need all, the Bible also tells us that we need to be a witness. So if not having an answer is holding us back from being a witness, then one of those things is out of balance. We're not following God's command. We need to be ready with an answer. We need to be equipped. That's why we come to church. That's why we learn. That's why we spend time in the Bible. That's why we have devotions. We learn and we take as much as we can, but we still have to follow through with the command to go and to be a witness and to reach a lost and dying world. And so when we do that, it's important for us to not feel like we have to have everything figured out, not feel like we have to have every answer in the book. And that's exactly what happened here. This man, the blind man, said, you know what? Whether he's a sinner or no, I don't know. But I was blind, and now I see. And it was just a straightforward response. Honesty. Just talking to someone. And whoever it is that you get a chance to talk to, it's important to make sure that you can say that you can talk to them and answer their questions and help them to understand, you know what? I don't know it all. I don't know the answer to that, but I know someone that can perhaps answer that. Let me find out for you. And the best thing you can do is to follow through with that. Find the answer out and then come back to them and say, hey, guess what? Remember what we were talking about? I got the answer. And let's look at it. And then that continues the work that goes into pouring yourself and witnessing to someone else. So you can give a straightforward response. Also, you can give a special review. This is just what we would consider a personal testimony. We see this, Pastor mentioned it this morning. I won't spend too much time here. Pastor mentioned this morning the Apostle Paul talking to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. And he said, this is what happened to me. I was on the road to Damascus, and I met Jesus. And that changed my life. And that's what he told King Agrippa. You see the lady at the well in John chapter 4. The lady at the well, she's having this interaction with Jesus and talking, and he knows all about her. And he's just talking to her, and she says, I think you're a prophet because of all that you know. And then he goes on to talk to her that, no, he's the Messiah. And then she goes on, what do we see there in chapter 4, verse 26? He says, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he, the Messiah. 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She just shared a special review of what happened to her. The same thing happened to the blind man that we just talked about. He just said, look, this is what happened to me. Pastor was talking about that this morning. Witnessing, again, you may not have every answer spelled out in terms of what it is that every point of doctrine, but helping them to understand, look, God changed my life. God, I know what I was. I know what I was saved from. And I know that there was a point in time where my life completely changed. And it's just sharing a personal testimony with someone, a special review. Also, I want us to see, kind of focus on this area here, a strengthened relationship. A strengthened relationship is another thing, another tool, another opportunity to use to be a witness to someone. We see this, again, in the life of the Apostle Paul. There was a man, you know the story. Paul was made blind, and then the Holy Spirit talked to the man in Damascus, Ananias. And God talks to Ananias and says, hey, there's a man coming. His name is Saul. you need to help him out. And Ananias is like, Lord, I've heard about this guy, and I'm not sure if you've heard about this guy, but he's a really bad guy. He's persecuting Christians. Did you know that, God? And God tells him he is a chosen vessel. And when you see the interaction that happens with Saul and Ananias, you see it here in Acts chapter 9. I'll read it for you. It says, again, he's going on talking about it. But verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. That was the interaction that they had. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so then he was baptized. But then look at what happens in verse 19. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So there was this time where they were building a relationship. And they were working to help one another out, growing together. We see this in the book of Acts with Apollos. Apollos is a man that's a devout man. And Priscilla and Aquila come by and help him out, and they show him the way of God more perfectly. They help him, they disciple him, they help him to grow, and it's a good thing because we need to build relationships with people. We need to show people we care. Now, when I say that, I'm not minimizing the work of the Holy Spirit in this, because the Holy Spirit works and makes, is the one that does the work in salvation and in growth. And the Holy Spirit we're not minimizing that. But understand that in our witnessing with people, especially with people that we know, we have to build those relationships. We have to strengthen those relationships. I'll be 100% honest with you that if someone were to come to my door and knock and try to witness to me and talk to me, my first inclination would be, do you even care about me? Why, when we talk with people, why should they listen to us? Why should they listen to anything that we have to say? Again, we've heard it often that we need to care about people. We need to show them that we care. Now, the fact is that us going out and sharing the gospel with them shows that we care, but they don't understand that. But then why are we, if we need to build relationships, why are we closed off to people? Why do we prefer to go to the, and I'm telling on myself, why do we prefer to go to the self-checkout line? Because we don't want to talk to the register person that's ringing us up. Because we don't want them to take too long. Putting if it's an older person, they're slow putting the stuff in the bags. So no, I'm going to go to the self-checkout line. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done as fast as I can. And the thing can't keep up with me because I'm too fast. But what that does is that takes us away from the interactions that we can have. From the caring for people. Closing ourselves off from people. And that's what we do. Many times, young men, you can help someone out in the parking lot. You see someone old that's perhaps struggling to put groceries in their car. You can help them out. Build that relationship to be a help, to show people that you care. The fact of the matter is that the relationship that you have with someone changes what you can say to that person. With some people, we're very careful how we talk, because there's certain things that we can say and certain things that we shouldn't. But because of the relationship that you have with someone, you can say some pretty straightforward things to a person that you care about, that you love, and that person knows that you love them. You could say, you know what? I'm concerned about how you've been living. And you have all these things going on in your life, and I'm concerned that you might go to just die without Christ. And all those things are based on a relationship. So a strengthened relationship. And so I say these things so that to get ideas going in our minds of how can we build relationships with people and nurture and help grow those relationships with people. Our mindset should not just be, I'm going to be closed off from society and live in my bubble, but it should be like the Apostle Paul. How can I have an opportunity to share the gospel with this person? I've tried to take that into account recently, and I go to different stores, and I would just as well just be on my way and get things done and be out. But I've taken time to talk to someone, and most people, when they hey, how are you? Fine. Okay, how are you? But when I take a moment and I say, how are you doing? How's your day been? They're like, oh, this person really wants to know. And it's completely different demeanor that we can communicate and things open up to be able to share the gospel with them, share truth, share an invitation, just be able to be a help to them and say, hey, you know, is there anything I can pray for you about? Whatever the case may be, it's a matter of building relationships. And finally, I want to want us to understand that there can be a specific reaching. A specific reaching. And what I mean by that, God may have a person specifically for you to reach. We see this in the Bible with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and said, join yourself up to that chariot. You go. Peter, same thing with Cornelius. Peter, go with these guys because they're on the right, they're going to show you what you need to do. And I say that especially for people who perhaps are more experienced in soul winning, or we can't dismiss the fact that there may be a person that God has for you to witness to, and we have to have that in mind. I share that with you because one of my good friends, Mr. Sam, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, I'll get a chance to visit with him. I don't know if he ever mentioned it here, but if you've heard the story about the situation with him and his father. And I talked to Brother Sam, and he shared this with me. After Brother Sam got saved, he had a tremendous burden for his family. And he was just like any of us. At one point, his father was sick, and he had to go to the hospital. And Sam knew that his father was without Christ, and he had this heavy burden that God wanted him to witness to him. And I can't remember if it was in passing or if it was when he was at the hospital, but the pastor of the church that he was going to came up to him and talked to him, and Sam said, can you go visit my dad? And the pastor said, sure. Knowing, Sam knew that the Holy Spirit was dealing with him directly about witnessing to his father, about sharing the gospel with his father. And so the pastor went and talked to his dad. And his dad said this. He said, right when he was at a point of decision, the pastor said, so what do you think? Do you want to trust Christ? And he said, maybe I'll do that with my son. His father later passed away. He never got saved. And Sam, to this day, feels that burden because he knows, he if you talk to Sam about it, he knows that his father would be saved if he would have gone to witness to him. That was his appointment, and he missed it. And so there's these opportunities that we have to reach people specifically for us. But we have to have that mind and that those eyes open to the world. Do you feel compelled to share the gospel with someone? Is there someone for you to go out there and to reach? So when we go back to the beginning, Do you look for opportunities to relate to people? It takes effort, and I understand that, to get out of our comfort zones, to take a step back. And I would even venture to say that as we think about these people that we have to reach, even now, if there's a face that comes to your mind, perhaps you're fighting the excuses in your mind of, you know, I can't witness to them because of this. I can't talk to them because of this. Well, I can't do that at work. Whatever the case may be, and there's excuses that come to our mind because I understand, because we've all been there. But again, how can we say that our generation is degrading when we have a chance to impact it, but we aren't doing anything about it? We agree the only thing that will change this world is Christ. But we look at our day and we say, oh, this world needs Jesus. But we don't think that this world needs me to tell them about Jesus. When I take a step back, I look, and I, you know, for me, I'll be honest with you, very transparent, when I give to missions, that's easy for me. I see it and I'm saying, you know what, that's easy. We can do that. That's not a burden on me. A donation, something comes up, a missionary needs something, you know, I can catch that burden, and that's so easy for me to do. And I can pat myself on the back and I say, I've done something good for missions. But what am I doing for the people around me? What am I doing to share the gospel with them? So if we're going to make an impact on our generation, we can't just sit in an armchair and watch it happen. We have to do something about it. So that's the challenge for us. What are we going to do about it? Church, we have a missions-minded church. There's churches that are much larger than us that, quite frankly, don't give to missions as much as we do. And that's great. And I don't want to detract anything about that. That is a wonderful thing. God will use that, and God will use that tremendously. But what about our community? What about your friends? What about your relatives? The people here that need us. The missionaries counting on us to reach them.